So yeah, so we've had some fun this past week on weather-wise. Last couple weeks, it's been up and down. We actually turned our furnace back on last night, which was a miracle because it's fuel oil. And I said, I'm done with it, and went down. I was like, well, she's like, is there any fuel? And I said, I was trying to drain it so we could get it out of there. Turned it on last night, and it fired up. Heated the house back up. I was like, this is not right. But praise God. So, as I asked the Lord, Lord, what am I going to preach to these mamas they've never heard before? Well, you probably heard this message before. But I'm going to preach it again. Because the reality is, there's nothing new under the sun. And that was in Solomon's day. But what I want to do is I want you to see something. Something God began to show me about a week ago. Genesis 8:22, God made a promise to Noah. Just got out of the ark. Rainbows up. And he said, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. The seed time and harvest is what I want to focus on. Because you see, particularly as mamas and even papas, we have the opportunity to sow seed into our children's lives. We can teach them good things, and we can teach them bad things, right? You think, well, my kid didn't see that. They saw it. Why do you think you act like it? And you may even think, well, I don't act like that. And everybody else is like, yeah, you do. You most certainly do, but we don't look at ourselves that often. But God made a promise. As long as you sow a seed, it's going to come back to harvest. You teach your children love, they're going to love. You teach them kindness, they're going to be kind. But if you teach them to bully, they're going to bully. If you're a jerk, guess what? They're going to be jerks. Just all there is to it. And that's above the natural human side. Because our flesh is naturally a jerk. Because our flesh only wants itself. So then we jump up here to Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. It says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. Now, for many years, this has been just flipped around to be about money. It's not about money at all, really. But it says whatever, right? So if you sow money into a ministry that's doing good, yes, you will receive a harvest. That's God's word. It's a promise. But I love this. Do not be mocked. See, we like to think that we can be jerks all the time, talk about everybody else, and we never receive the harvest. If you sow kindness all the time, well, sometimes we don't always receive kindness, do we? No. I wish we did. But we don't. But it just instills that even further for me, that I did what was right. Sometimes you have to do what's right in spite of what people think. Well, I just don't know why you did it. Because it was right. It was right and there's wrong. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. Okay? If you want to just keep wigging out and blowing your top every 5 minutes, you're going to reap the corruption of that because your children are going to do that. And then you're only sowing to your flesh and they're sowing to their flesh, and guess what happens? Flesh leads to corruption, period. Same thing if you know you're not supposed to be, if you're diabetic. Well, I don't care. I'm going to eat all the cake I want. Well, when you go into the diabetic coma, who's at fault? Your flesh, you. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. See, when we sow to our Spirit, you're here today getting the Word of God in you. You're hearing it. Like I told you, you know these scriptures. And so when we sow into our children the things of God, I love when Angela comes back and, you know, she's been back here with the kids and she's, you know what, Gage and Grayson, you know, and then I'll hear what mom and dad have to say about them, what they wanted to do and all this. I'm like, praise God. They're learning about Jesus. I think it Grayson a few years ago, his favorite song was the one, he's roaring like the lion of the tribe of Judah. God's not dead, yeah. That was his favorite song. And I'd watch him after that. He would get excited about it. It's a great song. That's sowing to the Spirit. And that song, no matter where he goes in his life, will always be in his mind. It'll be in his heart. He'll hear those words over and over and over. My God's not dead. Why? Because the gods of this world are dead. They sow straight to the flesh. They're rotting, they're dying. They look alive, but they're not. So we need to make sure that our children are getting fed the Word of God. I love the program LifeWise. At the baccalaureate, we heard the guy who heads up over at Northmore, and he teaches those. So I was thrilled to hear the man who teaches my grandson. He talked about Patrick the peach tree. It was interesting, but I listened to it, and it made total sense. But you see, there's so many people, they aren't even teaching their children anything. And that's even the people in church. Why? Because we're focusing on the wrong things. Well, my kids got access to that on their phone, or they got access to that on TV. No, you need to read. Tell them the stories about Jesus, about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Tell them these stories. Without telling them the stories, they aren't going to know, because they will believe whatever you say. If you tell them those chairs are purple, they will believe it. No, Dad said those chairs are purple. No, those chairs are gray. No, my dad said those chairs are purple. There were so many things that, I don't know if my dad was messing around with me or what, but he told me certain things. I'm like, well, yeah, that. Oh, I remember one thing right in particular. So Dad was a lineman, and he used wire nuts. But he always called them one name, Scotch Locks, because the Scotch Tape Company was one of the major companies that made them. Still are. But he always called them Scotch Locks. So when I became a man, and I went up to the, I don't remember if it was Wolf Brothers or where, I said, yeah, I need some Scotch Locks. Dude looked at me and said, what are you talking about? Yeah, you know those things? He said, you mean wire nuts? Yeah. Sometimes you got to learn what they're really called. But I believed it because my dad said it. Dad said you couldn't do something, or Mom said you couldn't do something. You believed it. You're too little. Or you're too big. You can't do that. You take it to heart and you believe. But the Word says in Philippians that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. It does say all things. But it doesn't say that I'm geared to do all things. I can climb the side of that building. Yeah. Should you? Probably not. I love watching the video of these guys that change those light bulbs on top of the towers. I ain't afraid of heights. It was a sudden stop at the fall that always had me a little concerned. But it takes them hours to climb. And if there's a storm in the next state, they can't climb. Mind you, they make $60,000 for that one climb. I'd never have to work the rest of the year. But if I get up there, you can't use the bathroom, can't eat, because you're safetied off. You got to get up and get back down. So we believed what our parents told us, right? My mama, she wasn't raised on a farm. My grandfather was a pipe fitter for Union Carbide. She lived in a town, in a house that my grandfather built. She told me, cattle will eat my fingers. Was not true. So for the longest time, I wouldn't go near that end of a cow. And then, well, the other end, I knew they kicked, so I didn't want to go near that end. But she knew what she knew. But I believed it as a child. And that's why the Bible tells us, when you're a child, you believe those things. Get in your Bible. Learn the truth. Even when I started dating Angela, I knew not to get into bulls. I mean, that was a no-brainer. For me, anyhow. I'm like, you know, that's big. But I'm like, oh, no. No, they want to bite my fingers. They might bite my fingers. No, they won't. Okay. That just showed how smart I wasn't. So there were things I had to relearn. So mamas and papas, you're very influential. I tell you this to tell you, learn what you're teaching. Don't just teach it because it's what you were taught. Our pastor's wife in North Carolina, she always used this particular, a china plate to boil her water for her sweet tea. Always. Somebody asked her, I said, Pam, why do you do that? You got this really expensive set of pans with lids. And she said, well, that's the way mama always did it. I thought it had something. And then so one day she said, Mom, why did you use that plate for that pan? Oh, honey, I didn't have the lid. It was that simple. She said, when I found that out, I started using the lid to the pan. We need to ask questions too. Why does that do that? But if we sow to the Spirit, we're going to reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Doing good. Sowing good into our children. Teaching them the truths of the Word of God. Teaching them truth, period. There's been so many things I didn't know. And some of the things my boys have taught me. Really? Is that why that? I never knew. Now I do. But we're supposed to always do good. If you do good to your neighbor, your children will see that. And they will carry it on. But if you do not do good, remember what God told Cain. If you do not do good, sin lies at your door. And the wages of sin is death. So when we teach our children, teach them to do good. Now, the week before, as I was mowing my yard, I'm outlining it, mowing the edges, trying to keep up with my hay field. And I look over here, growing at the edge of the yard, right at the edge where I don't ever mow beyond, because I've got blackberries and raspberries growing out of there. I look down and I see these little flowers, these little white flowers. And I look up, and for about 15 feet, there's a whole row of these little white flowers. They're strawberry plants. My patch is 75 feet away. I have strawberries growing where I did not sow them. See, I had nothing to do with that except the initial seed, but I can reap that harvest. In Matthew 25, then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. This was a man who only had one talent. And the master knew that. And he only expected what that boy could do. If you only got one talent, pretty much the master said, you should have at least put it in the bank. Put it in a savings account so it could have earned some interest. But you buried it in the backyard. That's what he did. He buried it so he wouldn't lose it. Instead of putting it into the bank so they could be loaned out and make a little bit of interest off of it. And the master called him a wicked, evil man. But here's what this servant said when he looked at him. He said, I knew you to be a hard man. Why didn't the other two see him as a hard man? They evidently got to know him. That's why I tell you, get to know God. You may see him just as this awful, vicious man. Oh, he's a mean God. He killed all those people in the Old Testament. He delivered those people as well. Reaping where you have not sown. I didn't sow the strawberries. But yet, I'm going to get to reap the harvest as I let them continue to expand. I don't have to care for them. It has nothing to do with me. The patch I have up by the house, that's the ones I have to weed. These guys seem to be doing pretty good with all the weeds, with all the briars, with everything else around them. But I didn't sow them, so they're not my responsibility, but I can reap the harvest. Well, Pastor, I don't get how this is working. Your children, when you teach them to do good, and you see them do that good, and then you see somebody's life who they helped change because of the good you taught your children, there's a harvest that comes into you. Just like Angela was saying the other night, Justin just wanted to share his story about how important it is to get to know God and to be strong in your faith. He got up there and he just started speaking from his heart. He got amens at a school function. There were people who were going, amen, brother. As I saw him share his experience with God, the love that welled up in me, and I'll use the word pride, was breathtaking. Because there's my son speaking not just to his classmates, but to people my age, younger, older, a whole mixed group. And he unashamedly told them they need Jesus. And he told them why. Not only for the accidents, but because mom and dad preached to him the importance of Jesus. See, we sowed the seed. He sowed the seed. He had faculty come up and tell him what a great job he did. The principal, teachers, business people. There were people sent, I think somebody sent you a message. Somebody sent Angela a message. We got to receive the honor of what he did. And someday he may get to know, may run into somebody who said, I heard you in that baccalaureate. It's a messed up word for me. Baccalaureate. Talk about Jesus. And later on in life, I didn't do things quite right. But your words stuck with me. Thank you for sowing those words into my life. And why? Because mom and dad sowed into his life. You need to continue to sow good into your children's lives. It doesn't matter how old they are, they still need you. But you need to sow God's word, his truth, above all things. Because the Bible really does have a lot of answers. But of all of it, you can teach God's grace. It doesn't mean we just ignore the things that are wrong. You can't. You got to fix it at some point. but it means we don't condemn. There's been things my boys thought they did that I didn't know. I come to find out, now I know some of the stuff mom and dad. How God's a tattletale. He told on me. He told so they could pray. See, if we don't pray for our children, we condemn them. And Jesus said in John 3:17, for the Son did not come to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. We love John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world. We forget John 3:17. In Jesus' darkest hour, he prayed for us. He prayed for his disciples. He prayed one time, Lord, can this cup go away? Is there another route? And he received it. He took it. Why? Because of the seed God the Father had sown. The Holy Spirit had sown. For me, it had to come to, I had to end my running. And at some point, we all have to end our running. We all have to come to our own revelation. I call it letting you grow up. You're going to bump your head. You're going to fall down. And as my children run their race, they may stumble. But I'm going to love them. Doesn't mean I agree with what's happening. It just means I love them. And I will pray for them. Even if it hurts me. So understand, though, when your child does, and your child changes, and your child starts speaking the truth of the Word of God, and people's lives start getting, and they can say, I know your son. He led me to the Lord. I was going to kill myself. And he stopped, and he talked to me. Why? Because you taught him something. I mean, I'm sure he's always walked the straight and narrow. No, no, they don't. But when they come back, how glorious is it? And not everybody has to go down that path. But everybody does need to get to know God. And if you don't get to know God, you have really messed up your relationship. Oh, but I know Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Yeah, they both came so they could point you to the Father. They weren't there to draw attention to themselves. They were there to point you to the one who sent them. Would you rather know the messenger or the person who wrote the message? Me personally, I want the guy that wrote it. You know. So don't ever think that, well, my kids are struggling. Keep praying. Bless them. Love them. God can get through that. But if you are judging them, you are holding them back, you're the most powerful influence in your children's life. The second greatest power is a loving spouse. But you, mamas, you hold a power that is so phenomenal. Some of you, your children, they'd take on the gates of hell for you. So know that's a power. You have the opportunity to speak into your grandchildren's life as well. I love it when the kids come up to me. And they start asking questions. Carter, he asks a million and one questions. There is no such thing as 20 questions with him. It's nonstop questions. Harper, Grandpa, why are you naked? I just have my shirt off. But to her, I'm naked. I just needed to make sure I clarified that for recordings. And I do have clothing on. She is like her mother. The first time Tony came into the house and I was laying on the couch without a shirt, she's like, oh my, we're going half naked now. I just said, you know what? If you're going to be around here, you better get used to it. She got used to it. She doesn't think twice about it anymore. Just the way she was raised. My house, we were hillbillies. Cutoffs, bare feet, no shirt. And a few scabs here and there, and a lot. But that's part of being a child. So today, mothers, thank you. Thank you for what you do. I know giving birth is not easy. And the truth probably is, if it was up to men, Adam would have been it. There's a good possibility. That would have been it. I mean, no, we're not doing that again. Because if it's anything like a kidney stone, I'm going to tell you right now. Which, by the way, we got done moving and I had to go to the gas station last week and went to the bathroom and out came a kidney stone. And I was like, woohoo! It was about the size of a pellet for a BB gun. But you want to know something? There was no pain with it. Just pressure. I thank God. My body's got to get rid of them. And you know what God has done? He's touched me so I don't have to deal with the severe cramping that puts people in hospitals. Because my first one, that's where I ended up at. And it's not fun. But I've only ever had that one time. And that doctor told me, she said, kidney stones are worse. And she said, but you have two little ones. I don't care how big they are, they hurt. But yeah, let's stand. I know some of you got a meal to get to. I got a meal to cook. A meal I let her pick out. I said, what do you want? We walked around the store. She said, this is what I want. I want some of this. I want some of that. I said, all right. I can cook some of this and some of that. But don't forget your roses. And always remember, God is good. He loves your children. He loves your grandchildren. No matter what they're doing right now, he loves them. He loves your great-grandchildren, too. Miss Vicky has a new great-grandson. Grandson. Yeah, great-grandson. A little tiny little dude. So, I will bless you, and we will be dismissed. Father God in heaven, I thank you. First off, Lord, I thank you for mothers everywhere. Father, many of them have given up their dreams, their hopes, their desires to carry a child, to care for that child. Lord, I bless them. Father, no matter what their secular role in life is, Lord, that you have moved in them. Father, you have anointed them, you have gifted them. Father, you're continuing to give them words of wisdom, clarity of mind, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that your peace will rest upon all of them. And now, Lord, we thank you. We again thank you for your word, Father, for how it will change us. And Father, we continue to stand for all the wayward children, particularly of this body. Lord, we call them into your kingdom. Father, may they grow powerful in your word. May they lead hundreds to know who Jesus is so that they can know who you are, Father. And now, Lord, I bless all those that have heard this word today. Lord, I thank you that you're moving in their lives. Father, every day,